Dr. Pinsky dictating a female IME on Loretta, L-O-R-E-T-T-A, Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y. Loretta Ashley is a 55-year-old woman who reports she was injured at work on 10-16-20. Apparently she fell off of a chair equipped with wheels. Apparently she fell backwards and hit her head with no loss of consciousness. Apparently she believes she sustained injuries to her hand, neck, hips, and vision. Apparently she did go to the emergency room where she was employed. Apparently she had further evaluation but remains unaware of her final diagnosis. Apparently she did not undergo any surgery and is no longer receiving any active treatment. Period. The rest of that is normal. New paragraph will insert the summary of the records here. Period. And put, we need to find the surveillance videos that they say were enclosed. So you can ask them for that. Period. New paragraph, it is also evident that she first complained of back pain on 10-19-96 and was admitted to Somerset Medical Center. Perichy was discharged on 10-21-96. Perichy routinely saw her family physician named Dr. Erkilla, E-R-K-K-I-L-A, and reported occasional low back pain. Period. In January 2015, she sustained a fall at home, and then began treating for her left shoulder and hip with Dr. Fleming. Period. She underwent an MRI of the cervical spine on 6-11-15, and then medial branch blocks on the left at C5-6 and C6-7 for cervical spondylosis. Period. On 9-20-15, she was involved in a motor vehicle accident. Period. She received treatment for her cervical spine, low back, right knee, and head, Period. She saw a neurologist named Dr. Resnick and an orthopedist named Dr. Flowers. Period. On 2-17-16, her symptoms worsened and she was admitted to Robert Wood Johnson Hospital. Period. She treated with Dr. Yanow, Y-A-N-O-W, for pain management. Period. She eventually underwent anterior cervical decompression, discectomy infusion with interbody grafts and anterior plating at levels C4 through 7 in February 2017. Period. Following surgery on the cervical spine, she began complaining of increased lumbar pain. Period. She continued to treat with Dr. Yano and Dr. Tormenti and accepted 2 lumbar epidural injections. Period. She is currently treating with Dr. Hirsch, H-E-R-S-H, for a severe foot drop. Period. She was also involved in an accident on A-27-19. Period. She advised Dr. Levine that as a result, she underwent a cervical CAT scan. Period. You have cited emergency room records from Robert Wood Johnson, dated 9-2-19, regarding this accident. Period. And underline that. On 5-9-20, she was seen at Robert Wood Johnson Hospital with a chief complaint of back pain. Period. She stated it started after taking her morning walk and had been getting progressively worse. Period. She asserted her lower back pain stems from an accident 4 to 5 years earlier. Period. Ketorolac injection was administered, after which she was reported improvement and discharged on Flexeril and lidocaine patches. Period. General appearance. At the outset, Ms. Ashley was somewhat angry with our front office staff. Perichy had been scheduled here on 11-14-22, but did not show for that evaluation. Perichy then showed a letter from her attorney stating she had Clear visit scheduled for 11/16/20. Period. She scratched that. Our front desk staff was pleasant and professional. Period. I was able to hear their whole interaction. Period. Miss Ashley became quite vocal. Period. She asserts she needs more treatment on her neck. Period. The workers' compensation doctor said no. Period. Then now they sent her here for me to give an opinion in that regard. Period. I do not believe that is the case. Period. Extremities upper. She wore a compression glove on her right hand with the fingers cut off. Period. Motion of the shoulders was limited bilaterally with guarding. Period. Passive abduction. Left was 105 degrees and right 90 degrees. With flexion, left 100 degrees and right 90 degrees. Period. Motion of the shoulders, elbows, wrists, and fingers was otherwise full in all spheres with acrepitous tenderness, triggering, or locking. She had globally diminished pinprick sensation in the right upper extremity, but this was intact on the left. Period. She also had breakaway weakness throughout most of the musculature of the right upper extremity and in bilateral shoulder abduction. Period. Hands, wrists, elbows. She had a positive phalanx maneuver on the right, which was negative on the left. Shoulder maneuvers were impeded by her lack of cooperation and guarding. Period. Extremities lower. She complains of injuring her right hip as well. Period. Inspection revealed an oblique 10-inch scar laterally at the left hip, consistent with arthroplasty. Period. Interestingly, she guarded range of motion about the right hip, except for flexion to 10 degrees. Period. Knee flexion was variable and guarded from 0 to 100 degrees of flexion. Period. Motion of the hips, knees, and ankles was otherwise full in all spheres without crepitus or tenderness. Period. Many muscle tests was 3+ and prolistinally limited. The right plantar flexor and extensor hallucis longus strength, but was otherwise 5/5. Period. Spine cervical inspection revealed a well-healed surgical scar anteriorly. Period. She actively flexed to 10 degrees, comma, extended 15 degrees, comma, rotated right 0 degrees and left 5 degrees, comma, with side bending right 5 degrees and left to 10 degrees. Period. When distracted, she had improved range of motion. Period. She was tender in the midline at C3, but there was none in the paracervical or trapezius musculature, nor was there spasm in those areas. The rest of that is normal, thoracic normal, lumbar sacral. She had an unreproducible limp and broad-based gait on the left. Period. She changed position slowly and was able to squat and rise. Period. She sat comfortably in 90 degrees lumbar flexion, but actively flexed to 60 degrees. Period. Extension, bilateral rotation, and side bend were accomplished fully. Period. She was tender at the right paravertebral musculature in the absence of spasm, but there was none on the left or in the midline. Supine straight leg raise maneuver at only 5 degrees elicited low back tenderness that is indicative of symptom magnification. Period. On the left at 90 degrees, no low back or radicular complaints were elicited. Period. She did a positive trunk torsion and Hoover test for symptom magnification. Period. Impressions. On 10/15/20, Loretta Ashley fell from the wheeled chair upon which she was sitting. Period. She presented herself to the emergency department in the hospital where she was employed. Period. She had x-rays of the right radius and ulna that were within normal limits. Period. X-rays of the right hand showed no fracture or dislocation. Period. She also had right wrist x-rays that showed that was within normal limits. Period. She participated in physical therapy on the dates described. Period. New paragraph. She had extensive additional diagnostic workup and treatment, including CAT scan of the head on 10/25/20. That was unremarkable. Appears she also had a cervical spine CAT scan on 10/25/20. That showed anterior discectomy infusion from C4 through C7 with mild degenerative changes. There was no evidence of acute cervical spine fracture or traumatic malalignment. She continued to be followed by Dr. Tormenti, T-O-R-M-E-N-T-I, over the ensuing months. She eventually came under the pain management care of Dr. Kwan on 1/17/22. On exam, there was a left anterior neck scar consistent with her prior surgical intervention. Active range of motion was reduced by 85% in all planes, secondary to complaints of pain. Passive range of motion was not performed. Ms. Ashley was noted to be able to use her upper extremities and was pushing up with her hands and arms when going from a seated to a standing position. Then she was noted to be bearing weight on her upper extremities. However, the physical exam in the seated position found an extremely poor range of motion at both shoulders and at the wrist and biceps, secondary to complaints of pain that produced pain in her mid-back. She followed up with Dr. Kwan When seen by Dr. Kwan, she failed to complete her intake questionnaire but complained her pain level was 8/10. She was then seen by Dr. Levine on 4/11/22, who opined further treatment should be performed outside of the workers' compensation injury of 10/15/20. It is also noteworthy that she was scheduled for an evaluation for on her neck by Dr. Gigante, G-I-G-A-N-T-E, on 12/7/20, as well as a wrist exam with Dr. Chan, C-H-A-N, on 12/11/20. However, she failed to attend both exams. Dr. Chan's exam was rescheduled to 1/6/21, but she again failed to attend. The evaluation eventually occurred on 3/3/21. When she was deemed to not be in need of causally related right hand treatment. Unfortunately, her behavior overall mimics that she displayed in her office. Namely, a lack of cooperation and being a loud, disgruntled individual. The paragraph, there is 0% permanent, partial, or total disability referable to any of the allegedly injured areas in this event. Pre-existing cervical spine injury and fusion were not permanently aggravated or accelerated to a material degree by this. This is supported by her normal EMG from 12/1/20. X-rays, CAT scan, and MRI supported that conclusion as well. And underline this, I believe the areas she claims were injured include her right hand and forearm, as well as her neck and hips. She appears to be more functional than she would otherwise portray. End.